God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you for being here this morning, and we're getting ready to start a new series today. Just take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 12, which is where we're going to begin at. Genesis chapter 12. We're starting a new series. We went for a long time on stinking thinking, and I think I got all y'all straightened out. I don't know. I'm still working on a few of you, and so. But today we're going to start a series on listening to God. Over my many years of being a pastor, one of the things that are talked about a lot, and I've preached about a lot, is about listening to God. So we're going to talk about that today, and basically the series is going to be called, God, I Want to Hear from You. I think all of us want to hear from God from time to time. It's something that we ask God to. I know a lot of people come and say, Brother Nathan, if I knew what God wanted me to do, I'd do it. Anybody ever said that, you know? Well, we're going to see over the series of messages that I'm going to preach in the next few weeks, and that you probably already know a lot more than you do. A lot of times what we do is we ask God those questions in some of the difficult times of life, but a lot of times we're not doing what we know we ought to be doing in the most simplistic things of life, and you're going to find that out, okay? And so today what we're going to talk about, God, are you still speaking? Well, the answer to that is yes. Just let me go ahead and give you that on the front end, okay? And in Genesis chapter 12 and verses 1 through 8 here, what you're going to see is we want God to speak to us like Abraham, he spoke to Abraham, don't we? Now, we don't know if this was audible or anything like that, you know, and we don't know that, but we see that God spoke directly to him. And as we go through here, listen to what God says. And he also, again, you've heard me talk about the last few weeks, God makes some promises here to Abram, as he starts out as. And so Genesis 12, starting in verse 1, it says, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to a land I will show you. I want you, as you go through there, if you like to write in your Bible, underline the I will. So this is God telling him, I will. He says, I will show you. Then he says in verse 2, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be blessed. There's the promise. He's saying, and he doesn't really know what that is. He didn't really understand all that, but it's a promise. Then he goes in verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. That's prophetic, talking about Jesus. If you go and look that verse up, he's already prophecy about Jesus coming out of Israel, okay? And in verse 4, here's Abram's part. It says, so Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years young, okay? So that didn't give any of his excuse. 75 years old when he had set out for Haran. It says, he took his wife Sarah, as his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people that had acquired in Haran, and they set out and came to the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Verse 6, Abram traveled through the land as far as the sites of the great tree of Moriah and Shechem at the time of the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offsprings I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord and who had appeared to him. Verse 8, from there he went on towards the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, and from Bethel on to Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we call on you today too, like Abram did in his day. We call on you also. We want to hear from you, Lord. You have a plan for our life just like you had a plan for his life. It might not be setting out to a distant country. It might not be starting a new nation. It might not be any of those things, but God, you still have a plan for us. And God, help us to realize you still speak to us just like you did him. And God, you have significant things for our lives. You have shaped and molded us into the people that we are, that you might use us to make a difference in the world around us, Lord. Let us see that, Lord. God, thank you for Abram's willingness, his obedience. And God, we are faced with that challenge also. So much of the time, the problem is not that we don't hear from you. The problem is that, God, we don't listen. We don't acknowledge or we don't obey what you tell us to do. So, God, help that not be true of us, Lord. Help us teach us through this series of lessons, Lord, or this series of messages that we learn, God, how to not only hear you, but to listen and, God, obey, Lord. Let that be true about us as individuals, as families, as well as church, God. And we pray this in the name of Jesus and amen. So as we look here, we see this Abrahamic covenant we talk about in the promise that he shows here. And he keeps saying, I will, I will, I will. There's some things that God tells us he'll do for our lives also. And so this promise here, if we look through it here, he's basically an unconditional promise. You've heard me talk about that the last few weeks too. And an unconditional promise is this going to happen, regardless of what happens, okay? regardless of what happens. Now, he doesn't know how this is going to happen. He just tells him to sit out. Basically, he doesn't even know where he's going, but he just tells him to sit out. So he had enough faith in God, okay, that he just went where God told him. And so my question is which direction did he go? I mean, you know, where are we going to go? And so he tells him where to go. He tells him how to get there. And then he promises him there's going to be a great nation. Well, you know the story of Abram. You know he ends up turning into Abraham. He didn't even have any children. He's 75, didn't have any children. So, I mean, he's thinking, okay, how's this going to work out, okay? But he doesn't know, but he still promises, and he still trusts God enough to, he doesn't know how it's going to happen, but he knows that God's going to fulfill his promises. And so, because God keeps telling him, I will, I will, I will. And God does that in our lives also. So the question a lot of times is not if God's speaking. The question is, are we hearing God? Are we listening to what God says? And so what is our questions? Here's our basic questions when you come to a sermon like this. This is what most time we're asking. Here's the questions we ask. Should I take that job or should I stay where I'm at? Ever prayed about that? You know, I think most of us has. Should I go to school? Where should I go to school out here? Here's where a lot of the seniors are getting ready to go out and go to college and things like that. So a lot of you are visiting colleges, and so you're trying to make a decision. You're saying, God, where do I need to go? Any of you parents especially praying that, you know? Most of all, I'm sure you are. You know, what house should I live in? Should I sell my house or build a house or buy a house or things like that? You know, what person should I marry? Did anybody pray about that, you know? God, tell me not to marry this person if this person is not, you know, not the person I need to be married to. And then also, here's one we pray. What doctor should I go to? You know, I've got some ailment. I've got some sickness in my life. What doctor should I go? God, prepare me where you want me to be. Let me know which place you want me to be. And so those are the things that we usually talk about, we think about when we're asking God questions, okay? And they're legitimate questions. Those are things that we should. I pray about those things just like you do, okay? And so a lot of times we just want God to just say, okay, right here. We want to, you know, we want him to write it in the sky, or we want to do some kind of a fleece thing, and we'll talk about that. And, well, God, I want you to let me directly know where you want me to go. And God will do that. But we have to be in right relationship, right fellowship with him, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute also. So what did Abram do? Well, here's what Abram did. First of all, Abram gets up and he leaves, and he says he leaves, and he says he goes, and then he begins. Here's the key word, is he trusted. Why did God choose him? Because God knew that he had a trust in him. And he challenges that trust. You know, eventually he's going to offer his son, Isaac, you know, and things like that. You know, he's going to offer him up and everything. So God knew what he, but this is what it says. When he says he trusted him, that's where God keeps filling in the blank. I will, I will, I will, and I will. This is what I'll do for you. So that was a promise from God. And so Abraham listened. And then what he did is you pick up here in verse 4, he says, and Abraham left. And so he had to go. He not only heard God, he did what? He followed God's directions. And so that's what we have to do in our lives. And sometimes we don't know everything that's going to go on. Most of the time, we won't know where everything's going to go on. Most of the time, God doesn't give us a road map and say, okay, and you're going to be here in a year, or you're going to be here in 2 years or 5 years. It's not like that at all. We just go and we just keep trusting God and putting one foot in front of the other and just trusting God, and here we go. And if we're obedient to God and we're in fellowship with God, we'll end up where God wants us to be, okay? We have to understand that. So the question is not, is God still speaking? We know the answer to that is yes. Today's message is on why. You know, why is God still speaking to us? We have the Word, so he speaks through the Word, and that's truth, you know, we have that. And we'll talk about all that later on in the series, but not so much why he is, but you know, how is he speaking to us? Not so much, but it's why he's speaking to us, not so much how he's speaking to us. We'll get to the how later on in the series, but today we want to talk about why is God still speaking to us. Well, here it is. Here's the first one. Why does God still speak to us today? First of all, because he loves us. And so if you hear from God, if God speaks to you and you hear from God, and I'm not talking about an audible, you know, if you're an audible voice, then that's fine. I mean, God done that from time to time, and I'm not going to say he never does that. He never has with me. I can tell people it's a lot louder than that. He does. He speaks to our spirit. And it's just he impresses things on us. But it's very, you can understand. If you're in fellowship with God, you'll know it's God. I can just tell you that. It's something, I guess you'd say, spiritual. It's something mysterious at time to time. But God will impress things on you from time to time. And why does he do it? Because he loves us. God wants to know us, and he wants us to have a relationship. Because why? Because relationships are the reason that you're here. The reason you're on this earth, the reason you breathe breath and you blink your eyes is because God wanted you here. And there's one reason, because he wanted man here, because he wanted to have a relationship with him. He wants to have a love relationship with us. And that's what's most important in life. How do we know that's what the Bible says? Listen to what it says in Matthew 22, starting in verse 36. He says, teacher, this is a question asked to Jesus, okay? He says, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And you know what it says probably. It says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. So he's saying, first of all, love God. That's what he's saying. That's the most important thing, is to love God. Because why? He's our creator. He's the one that put us here. He's the reason we're here. You know, we need to realize that. Then he goes on in verse 38, and the first and the greatest, he says, this is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And listen, here's the key. All the prophets, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. So the whole thing about Christianity is it's a love relationship with God and other people. And then we even know that the question is asked, who is my neighbor? Remember they asked Jesus that question, who is my neighbor? And he basically tells us anybody that has a need in their life. You know, we're to love everyone. You know, we might not like everybody, but we love everybody. We should love. And it's a difference. Liking is more of emotional. Loving is a choice that we make. I love on a lot of people that I don't like. I deal with a lot of people that I don't like. I don't like how they talk. I don't like the way they act. I don't like the way they react to things. But I can still love that person, okay? And you do in your life also. It's not talking about a like, and that's what a lot of people think love is, but it's not just an emotion. It's more of a choice that we make to love people, and we have to realize that. So God says he loves us, and he wants us to love other people, and that's the reason he gives us life. And so love is what caused God to speak us into creation, and God made us to love us. Now, what we have to understand, there's a bunch of people that don't believe that you can have a relationship with God, but that's not true. It's called deism. It's what it is. And they believe that God just puts you here, and he just kind of spun you around and say, okay, you make the best choices you can. But that's not how God still interacts with us. And how he does that, one thing is speaks through us. He speaks to us. And so we need, and that's what we're going to be talking about over this series. And so God loved us and make us, but he wants to have a relationship with us. And any relationship, any good relationship, is two-sided. There's give and take in any kind of relationship. There's a give and take, and it's when it comes also in the speaking. If only one person is doing all the talking, that's just what it makes it an unhealthy relationship. It's not very healthy. So when you pray, do you stop and listen for God? When you read the Bible, do you want to hear God? You should be praying before you get started and say, God, I want to hear from you today, okay? And then you need to expect God to speak, and he will. He'll do it through his word, and we'll talk about all that. He'll do it, but he does what? He does it because he wants to have a relationship. I know that sometimes I'm going through a difficult time in my life, and I'll pull my Bible out, and I'll start reading in my quiet time or preparing for a message, and all of a sudden I'll read a scripture, and it's like, man, everything's just like, man, that, I needed to hear that today. Well, you need to realize that's God, okay? I mean, God showed up in that minute, in that moment of your life, and you might have read that scripture over and over again, and all of a sudden at that one point, at that one time, you read it, and all of a sudden, it had a special meaning to you. It had something because it was meeting a need in your life, and God speaks to us like that. God listens to us, and he wants us to listen to him because he does speak through us in a day-to-day time, just like he did in the Old Testament times. Why? Because he loves us. You need to realize that God wants to have a relationship with you today. You know, the Bible tells us that God loves us, and he wants to have a relationship with you, and you need to understand. And what being saved is what coming into a relationship with God is we call it salvation or being born again or whatever. It's having that relationship. It's joining in with God again, okay? And so we that's how we get into the family of God, is accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And that brings us into a relationship with God, and that's what God wants. That's what he wants. That's what he sent Jesus for. The second thing is this, is not only to love us, God knows that we need direction in life. There's a lot of twists and turns in life. I'm sure many of you in here is trying to make a decision right now about different things in life. It's going to make a big deal. It's going to be a big deal about it. Maybe it's for yourself, or maybe it's for your children, or maybe it's for something else, you know. But some of these decisions are really big, and God knows that. So he knows we're going to need directions. And here's my favorite scripture. You know what it is. Most of you do. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's hard to do, isn't it? Because we want to put ourselves before God. Then it goes on, it says in verse 6, and it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and here comes the promise behind it, and he will direct your path. And so God's got a plan, he's got a path for us to follow, and he's saying if we do that, then he'll do what? He'll direct our path. And so that's what we're asking for. God, I'm going in one direction, do I need to go in another direction? You know, which way do I go? And so we're looking for the direction in life. And so I want to know God's plan for my life, and I want God to be a part of my decision making. Do you really want that? See, a lot of people don't ask God because they don't really want to know what God might say, because they've already made their mind up and they say, well, God might not want me to do that. God might send my kids into missions or something like that. God forbid they go to Africa or somewhere like that, you know, and serve God there. And so we really don't want to ask God. We have our plans already made out and then we ask God, say, you know, God bless my mess. You know, we just do what we want to do, and then we ask God to bless it. It doesn't work like that. You know, we ask God and God gives us directions and we follow those directions. As we do that, God does bless those, bless the things that he calls us to do. Listen to what he says here in Joshua 1 and verse 9. I love this scripture. It says, I have commanded you. I mean, Joshua, remember, Joshua is coming in behind Moses, okay? And so Moses, I'm sure Joshua's got some intimidation. It's like, man, there's some big shoes to fill. And so I've got a big job here. And listen to what he says. He says, talking about the Lord, I have commanded you, be strong and courageous. It says, do not be terrified. It says, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. He says, I will be with you. So he's telling Joshua here, he's saying, just like Moses, I'm going to be with you, okay? I'm going to go before you. Moses had his day, but now's your day. And we do the same thing in our lives, you know. Many of us, we follow in our footsteps of our parents and things like that. And we realize as we look at our kids and our grandkids and things like that, that, you know, people are looking to us. And so we're asking God for direction and how we direct them. And he wants us to do what? Make right choices. And he leads us to do what? If we'll listen to him. So God wants you to make the right choice. So he's not sitting in heaven trying to fool with you, saying, well, I'm going to let you figure it out for yourself, you know. You just do what you think's best, and I'm going to let you figure it out. Let me give you something. I read this a long time ago, and I want to read it to you today, and this is very comforting to know this. And here is getting to a deeper level in your faith. When you get to this level in your faith, and I have been there in my life before, but it's easy to slip back from it, okay? But here's what God says here, and this is out of one of my daily devotionals. It says the desires of his friendship in Genesis 18 brings out the delight of true friendship with God, as compared with simple feelings his present occasionally in prayer. So he's saying that there has to be time that we spend with God. That's important. You need to be having a quiet time or whatever you want to call it. You need to be getting up every day and reading your Bible. I suggest reading a proverb every day, reading a psalm every day, and then reading parts of the Bible where you read through a whole book or whatever. I think you need to do that, okay? There's nothing wrong with having different materials and things like that. I have devotionals and things that I read too, but you need to be reading the Bible, and that's one of the primary ways that God speaks to us. And he's saying do that daily. He says this friendship means, it says, being so intimate in touch with God that you never even have to ask him to show you what to do. Think about that. I don't have to worry about what God. I don't have to ask God to show me his will. Why? It says it is evident of the level of intimacy which confirms that you are nearing the final stage of your discipline in the life of faith. When you have a right standing relationship with God, you are a life of freedom, liberty, and delight. You are God's will. You are God's will. Man, that's just some good stuff, okay? Oswald Chambers is where I got it. That's just, you are God's will. So you're so close to God that when you make a decision, it's what God would do because you're so close with God. You're in constant fellowship with him. You're in constant communication with him. It says all your common sense decisions are actually his will for you unless you sense a feeling of restraint brought on by a check in your spirit. So when you have that kind of a fellowship with God, then what happens is when you're about to make the wrong decision, it's a check in your spirit. And what will be lacking there? It'll be a sense of peace. You're lacking peace in your life. That's what's going to, you're saying, I don't feel right about this. You know, something's going. And at that time, you need to stop. You don't need to just plow on through. You need to stop at that situation. Then he goes on. He says, and unless you have a check in your spirit, it says you are free to make decisions in the light of perfect and delightful friendship with God, knowing that if your decision are wrong, he will lovingly produce a sense of restraint. Once he does, you must stop obediently. So you're having, this is a whole different standard of a fellowship with God than most people ever get to in their lives. And like, again, you get to the point where you're so confident that you're such fellowship with God that he's leading your life and you're not even asking him, he's just leading your life. Because why? You want to do what God wants you to do, you know? And so wouldn't that be wonderful, you know, to be in that situation, be in that kind of a relationship, that kind of fellowship with God, to where you just say, well, I've got a decision to make, okay? God, this is what I feel like you're wanting me to do, and I'm in right fellowship with you, so I'm going to do it expecting you to stop me if it's not the right thing to do. I pray that all the time. God, this is what I want to do, but this is what you want me to do, okay? You know, just like Jesus, let your will be done. Not my will, but let your will be done. But listen, most people never get to that intimacy, that kind of a fellowship with God because they're always doing what? They have their minds made up before they begin to ever ask God. And that's the wrong way to go about making a decision, okay? You need to understand that. You really start out, and one of the things we're going to talk about is getting into a neutral position where you're neutral before God. And you pray through that too. You pray, God, just make me neutral. I don't want to do something you don't want me to do. And it takes time to get there. So we have to understand that. So God knows the plans he has for us is what the Bible says. And we want to know those plans. And when we get to that intimacy with God, we're more free to do it. Because why? Because we know that God's guiding our lives. Because we have that fellowship with him. And so choices are a big part of our life. And God really wants us to make the right choice. He's not just messing with us. It's not like that at all. God's not up in heaven laughing at us as we foolishly go through life. It's not like that. He's wanting to guide us because he has a plan. He's wanting to get us from point A to point B because he wants to use us, okay? So the next thing God gives, he speaks to us because he knows we need direction. The third thing is this. He knows that we need encouragement. We live in a very discouraging world. We live in a broken world. And our world is so broken, it does what? It sucks us in sometimes. So we all have hurt and pain and difficulties in our lives. And God knows that this life is in a broken world. It's not easy for us at all. You know, it seems like about when things start getting going and we're going in the right direction, something will trip us up, something will happen, something will get in the way of us, what we feel like God's wanting to do. So we need to do what? We need to know the will of God. And that's where God steps in. Listen to what he says here in 1 John 2 in verses 1 and 2. He says, my dear children, he's talking about believers here. He says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin. So we that are Christians, we still have sin in our lives also. We shouldn't want to, but we still do. But here he comes back. He says, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. And so we have Jesus Christ. He's our defense attorney, okay? He's making appeal to the Father in our defense is what he's saying here. And he goes on to say this, Christ the righteous one. And here we go in verse 2. This is great news. He says, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. So Christ died. When Christ died, he died for all our sins, okay, the past, present, and the future. And so, and God already knew what that was going to be. And so I always think about that. God knew exactly what I'd be doing in my life before he ever saved me. He knew the falls I would make, the mistakes, the failures, the things that I would go through in life. And he still loves me and still chose me and brought me into a relationship with him. Isn't that great, you know? You know, just think about it. He knows everything about you, but he still loves you and he still wants to have that relationship with you. You know, that can say a lot about God. And so we need to realize that he has that kind of relationship with. Hebrews 13 in verse 5 says this. It says, the back part of that says, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so we need to realize that in difficult times in my life, that's one of my go-to verses. It says, God, you tell me you'll never leave me or forsaken you. So the difficult times of life, you need to realize God hasn't gone anywhere, okay? We might have, okay? We might have. We might walk out and do our own thing, but God hasn't. He says, I'm always here for you. You know, I was talking to Wayne about the prodigal son and how, you know, the prodigal son, think about what the prodigal son did. He basically wished his dad would hurry up and die because he wanted his money. And so he couldn't wait on his money. So he finally went to him and said, hey, let me have what's mine for I can get out of here, okay? And the father said, okay, here you go. Gave him his stuff. He goes off and he squanders it away. But the Bible goes back and talks about, and this is symbolic of God, the Father and God and us, or God and us, and how it is with us. It's talking about a relationship here. And we can picture that. And so, but what did he keep doing? He kept calling him, even though he was gone, even though he was doing his own thing out there. And they can just imagine what he was doing. He kept calling him his son. He kept calling. So he still had that relationship. And then one day it says, like he's sitting on the front porch and he keeps looking down the road and all of a sudden his son comes back. And he done something that's not very, it's not common in their day. Someone of prestige didn't run, but he got up and ran to his son, okay? And when he got there, he called him his son. He hadn't lost a relationship, even though he had lost fellowship with him, okay? And it restored him. And that's what God does with us. We sin. We have difficulties in our lives. We have failure. We hadn't caught God by surprise. But God is always willing to take us back in. And what it's saying here is this, he's saying what? Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And so God has not given up on us. Regardless of what's going on in our lives, God's always saying welcoming us back in and bringing us back in and fellowship with him. And so it's nice to know that God forgives us, and it's also knows that God's always going to be there for us. And so that's something that gets us through. So, and where do we find that out? We find that out in the Word of God. See, we wouldn't know that about God. We wouldn't know the attributes of God unless we read the Word of God. And so that's why it's so important that we know that God loves us and he's forgiving and he cares for us. And that's where we find it out. So it's nice to know that. And we all do what? We all have our, what, back against the wall times, and what happens is we have our failures and we have our hardships, and what God's willing to do, he's willing to pick us up and dust us off and put us back on the road again. We all have those times in our life. All of us have those difficult situations in our lives, but God is there for us. But when I have assurance with God that he is there for me, what does it do? It makes starting over a lot easier, and it makes going through the battles of life a lot easier also. when I know that God is always there with me, that he has not left me, he's not forsaken me, even though I've walked away from him, he's not walked away from me. And it's comforting to know that. And so God speaks to us. He encourages us he speaks to us to encourage us about the difficulties of life. And we all have those things in life. And we need to realize that. Listen to Psalms 37 and verse 4. I love this verse. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Think about that. That one verse right there is worth the price of your Bible. Just think about it. If you really trust God, listen to what he says. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your hearts. And so we delight ourselves in God. You need to realize that God wants us to enjoy life, not just to endure it. And so a lot of people think if you come to be a Christian, when you come in to be a Christian, it's just rules and regulations, do's and don'ts. But it's not like that. It's a relationship. Now, God tells us not to do some things because he loves us, and then God tells us to do some things because he loves us. And so in any relationship, you do what? You discipline your children. You direct your children. You're doing all those things because you do love them, okay? And then God does the same thing. So those do's and don'ts that God's laying out there for, they're for us, okay? They're because he loves us and cares for us. And he's telling those things because why? And he wants us to understand that there's a lot of pitfalls in life that we have to avoid in life, and he's trying to get us around those. Have you ever told your kids, don't do it? Well, why? Because I told you so. You know, we say that a lot of times because we've made the mistake that they're about to mistake, amen, about to make. And we're trying to save them from that, okay? And so I know that's constant. It never ends. I mean, I don't care. I'm in my 60s and my boys are in their 30s and I'm still telling them, don't do that. Don't listen, I've been down that road. Don't do that, okay? And I tell a lot of people, I might not tell you what to do, but I can tell you what not to, because you learn those lessons a lot harder in life, don't you? And you remember them a lot longer because that's how life is. So God wants us to enjoy life, not just endure it. And the Christian life is not just enduring and getting up and holding on to God, you know. Let me tell you what, you don't have to hold on to God because God's holding on to you. Amen. You got it wrong, okay? I used to see those signs in front of people's God. You know, God is my co-pilot. And I said, well, you need to change seats because he needs to be the pilot of your life, okay? And he needs to be doing the driving. And that's what it is. And that's what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 telling us. Trust and lean and understand him. You know, acknowledge him and trust him and where he's going to carry us. So what's God doing for us? Well, God speaks to us because, first of all, we need him. He wants to love us. He's showing us his love through speaking to us. Also, he knows we need directions in life, and also that we need help in life, that we need to know the directions of life is, because it's complicated sometimes. It really is, okay? I have people come to me, and they ask me complicated questions from sometimes, and sometimes I give them the biblical answer I know, and I don't know. I don't know, you know. I just don't know. And, you know, as you grow older in your life, you need to realize there's not anything wrong with saying, I don't know. But I can tell you what, I'll pray about it, and I'll ask other people that might know, and I'll try to get you some help. So the best thing that I can do is say, I don't know, but I know somebody that probably does, and let me send you to them, because that's where you need to go, okay? And so we need to understand those things. And the fourth thing is this, he wants us to know him. And again, what I said earlier about the attributes of God, how do we know that God is loving and caring, compassionate and forgiving and all those different things? Because we do it through his word. He reveals himself through his word. In Jeremiah 9 and verse 23 through 24, it says, this is what the Lord says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. It says, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me. He goes on, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness and justice and righteousness on earth. For these I delight in, declares the Lord. So what's he saying? He's saying through this you get to know me. And he lays out some of his attributes. He says, I'm a person of kindness and justice. We say, well, how can a person be just and be kind? Let me tell you what. You want to be happy in life? I can tell you what leads you to happiness, and that's holiness. When you're in a right relationship with God and you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then the next thing is being in right fellowship with God. And when you're in right fellowship with God, what that is, we call that holiness. You're living that life that Christ wants you to be. You're living that life that's close to God. What that leads to, it leads to a sense of holiness in your life, and that leads you to happiness. Because why? Because you're following the will of God. Now, does that mean that everything's going to be rainbow and flowers? No, it's not going to be like that at all. We all have difficulties, you know. But let me tell you what, God is there with us. And even God doesn't take us out of those situations. He promises to go through those situations with us. And so the question so much, and you hear me say this a lot, especially as we went through that series on stinking thinking, the question is not, why did this happen to me? The question is what am I going to learn out of it? So don't ask just why all the time, everything bad, something bad happened. Say, you know, and we all do, I do too. But really the question is what? God, what are you trying to teach me? And if we don't learn it in this around, he'll carry them back and teach us to that again, because he's trying to do what? He's trying to grow us that we might be a part of growing other people. And that's what it comes down to. So he wants to, and God wants to know us. So God speaks to us to let us know him. And if we stop, if God stopped speaking to us, we really would not ever get to know him. You know, I was sitting in I was talking to someone one day, and I won't name any names in any way, but so I was talking, so I went in, and the person I was getting ready to eat lunch with them, and so they quizzed me before it was, and they said, "Now don't ask them 100 questions, Dad." Okay. And I said, "Son, that's how you find," well, I messed up and said, "Son, that's how you find out something about somebody, okay? You ask them a question, they answer you. They ask a question, you answer, it's called communicating, you know?" And so I don't know if y'all know this, but I'm a talker, okay? I mean, and I'm glad I make a living doing that, okay? But I like to talk. And so I am, I do it to a stranger just like anybody else. If I meet you, you know, especially if they come to Dyersburg or Dyer County, I'll say, "Well, how did you get here? You know, do you like the Mississippi River?" Usually it's either a relationship or a job. That's what usually gets them there. That's what most people say, you know. So I'll ask them that. And then I spring off and ask them different things about that. But I'm curious about people. I like people. I like to, if we go into a room, I don't always just, go over to the person that I know. A lot of times I'll go to people that I don't know. I'm thinking, "Well, I already know about this person. I want to know about this person." And I've always got up every day and said, "Well, you might meet your next best friend every day. You don't ever know that, you know." And so, but you're inquisitive about what's going on. So God says, "What?" He says, "You need to do what? You need to, you ask me questions, let me answer them," and then he does what? He reveals himself to us, and he reveals the direction he wants us to go in life, see? And that's what he does. And so if the reason that I'm on this planet is for God to love me and I'm to love him back, it's reasonable for us to say that he wants to talk to us and he wants to spend time with us, and that's what so many people don't do. If you're sitting here today and you say, "Well, God's never spoken to me," well, you've never spent enough time with God. He's wanting to speak to you. He's not the problem, you are. You need to realize that, and I have to realize that also, that relationship is what? He's wanting to know you, and he's wanting you to know him, and how we do that is communication. It's what it is. It's called communicating, and he does. So if we believe God is speaking to us today, then why am I not hearing him? Well, the problem is not him. The problem could be you, okay? You need to realize it. So he is speaking today, and we're going to go through this series, and I'm going to tell you, and it's very elementary. It's not hard. You're not going to find some great mysteries. "Oh, man, I've never heard that, Brother Nathan." Yeah, you probably have through different messages, mine and other people's messages through the years. The problem is, you know, you're not listening, okay? You're not applying it to your life. You're not spending time with God. It's just not manufactured. I know this truth, and so, okay. So you have to apply the truth to it. So if we go through this, you need to understand this is going to be the applicational messages. It's like all messages are. You know, you learn truth and you apply it to your life, and then your life changes. And if you want to hear from God, then you're going to start applying these things to your life. Today is just the beginning of it. It's just a start, okay, telling you why God speaks to us. Because he cares about you. He loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you, okay? And that's the way we get to know God, is by him revealing himself to us, okay? And so we need to understand that. So we really, if we're not hearing from God, then we need to ask ourselves, maybe the problem is me. Because the problem is not God, because he's speaking, and we need to realize. And so the whole series now, that's why God speaks to us. The whole series is going to be, how do we listen to God? Now, can it help you? Sure, it can help you, okay? And so you need to come, and you need to take notes every week, and then what you need to do is you go home and you start applying these things. So, "God, this is what I learned this week. Let me apply it. God, this is what I learned this week. Let me apply it." And as you do that, what you're going to do, all of a sudden, God's going to get loud. It's like, "God, that was you. Woo," you know? And I mean, I've been in situations where God has spoken to me, and it's like, "Man, I heard that from God," you know. I remember several situations. I remember I used to visit all the time, and I was going to a house one time, and a lady was asking me questions, and I mean, I was just spitting off some verses like, man, and I walked away from there, and I'm thinking, man, that had to be you, God, because I can't remember John 3:16 half the time, you know. And so, I mean, but I got in my truck, and I just sat there and prayed and said, "God, thank you for speaking through me tonight, and you'll never convince me that wasn't God," okay. I was in a situation one time, and I was headed home, and so I was on my way home, and it was late in the afternoon, and I'd been gone all day, and so all of a sudden I got to a red light up here at Dyersburg, and God just laid a person on my heart and said, "You need to go to this person's house," you know, and I'd been there several different times. You know, they had some sickness situations going on, but anyway, I thought, well, I'll go home and then I'll go tomorrow, or I'll go home and eat, and then maybe I'll go later, you know. But God is just like, God spoke to me, and so I went on straight, just like I was going to go home, and it was just so heavy on me. It's just like I just took a ride and went back around and went back to the person's house, and I drove up in the driveway, and when I drove in the driveway, the lady walks out of the house, and she says, "Who told you?" And I said, "Who told me what?" She said, "My husband just died." And he was still in the house. The ambulance hadn't got there yet, okay? You know what I said? I said, God did. Amen? Nobody else told me that. I didn't know that. I was the first person there, you know. And I went in, and she was just brokenhearted, and everything was going on, you know. And so it was like, and so I stayed there with her till the ambulance came, and, you know, all that happened. And eventually the hearse came and got the body and everything, and I stayed there with her through it all. And then when I left, I just stopped, you know, got down the road and just stopped, and I said, God, thank you for speaking to me today. I said, I know. I said no about three times, and God just kept laying it on my heart and kept laying it on my heart. And you'll never convince me that God didn't make me make a right that day and go to that lady's house there, okay? I had no idea the man was going to die that day. I had no idea, you know? And so I'm telling you, God does speak to us. The problem is, so much of the time, is that we're not listening. Get it? Good. Look at your closing today. Look what it says here. It says, am I hearing from God? Okay, am I hearing? God's speaking. Am I hearing from God? The lesson to learn today is God is still speaking. You need to realize that. God is still, he's really speaking to you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to communicate to you. And the application is I have a part in hearing him. Abram, he spoke to Abram. But what did Abram do? It says Abram went. Abram left. We have a part in that too. Why would God keep telling you truth? Why would God keep giving you directions if you hadn't followed the ones that he gave you yesterday and the day before, you know, and all these things? And like I said, this is what most people do. They get to a big decision in their life and say, oh, God, speak to me, you know, and you do omen and all this kind of stuff and get maybe a fetal position and contemplate your navel and all this, and oh, God, speak to me. And well, why would God speak to you in the big things when you're not listening to him in the small things of life? You know, and as you listen to God in the small things of life, then you need to realize all of a sudden you'll start hearing him in the large things of life. And it's like all of a sudden you'll be one of those people that God wants to come around and ask. You know, all of a sudden people say, well, you know, Brother Nate says God speaks to him, so I want to hear what God says, so I want to go to him because maybe he'll speak to God on my behalf. And sometimes he does, but sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he's going to say, no, I want to humbly get you down on your knees and speak to you, but you've got to spend time with me. And God knows how to do that. God knows how to do that in our lives. And so that's what the series is going to be about. And so next week, Brother John Powell, I think back there in the back, he's going to preach next week. And I don't know what I told him, he's wide open. He can preach whatever he wants to. But then we'll get back on the series and we'll start talking about how to hear from God, how to listen to God. And that's, I think you're going to learn some stuff. But I think it's, again, you're going to realize that, you know, God's been trying to speak to you all along. The problem is not him. The problem is us. The problem is us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, dear God, and we've learned some really good truth here, something, dear God, that you want to talk to us at times, Lord, all the time. You're speaking to us day by day by day. Even through this message this morning, God, we sometimes don't realize that, but God, you are using me to speak to others, and I thank you for that. I'm just the messenger. That's all I am. I read your truth, and I preach your truth, Lord, and God, I pray that people will apply your truth. So maybe for some people today, you've spoken to them about salvation. They're not hearing from you because they're not a child of yours, Lord. And the first thing that God is ever going to speak to us is that I need to be saved. I thank you for saying that to me 36 years ago, Lord, and I accepted you as my Lord and Savior. I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray, dear God, for others today, if you're speaking that truth to them, that God, this will be the day that they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. God, you tell us exactly what we have to do. We have to admit that we're sinners. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say that we have to believe. We have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross for our sins. You tell us in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's not get all my life straightened up and come to God. It's come to God and he'll help me straighten my life out. And that's what we all need, is help. And the last thing is not only admit and believe, but the last thing is something that has to be done, is confess him as our Lord and Savior. And you tell us, God, exactly what we have to do that. Confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, and we will be saved. That's a promise. You're telling it's a promise. We will be saved. And so, God, I pray for anyone in this room today that's never accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Today will be that day of salvation, Lord. They'll dedicate themselves to you. They'll turn from their sinful ways and dedicate themselves to you. And, God, you tell us you'll save us. God, That's your love. That's your mercy. That's your grace that you tell us about in your word. And that's how you're communicating to us, Lord, is through your word and through other people. God, let them hear me today. Let them hear you today through your Holy Spirit, that people will be saved. God, thank you for this time of invitation that we have, Lord, where you give people an opportunity to respond.